Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to John in chapter 4 this morning. We're going to be speaking on the thought of a thirsting soul can only be satisfied in Jesus Christ. A thirsting soul can only be satisfied in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 29, we come to the account of the when Jesus Christ had traveled from Judea back into Galilee. And he'd stopped midway through in the area called Samaria, outside the city of Samaria, into a smaller town called Sychar. And there he met a woman and had a conversation with her. The idea and the gist of the account is the salvation of this woman. That's the interpretation of it. We can also make application of this passage to a child of God while they're saved, may be wayward and needs to return or seek back to find satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, this text. Before I read it, there's several things that go through my mind as I prepare messages and draw closer to the time to preach it. And I'm reminded in this passage, I've gone through this passage, I've even preached through it in times past and from a different angle. But as I was preparing and working on it, we used to live here, my wife and I. She's from Marion, and so when we first got married, we lived there for about a year and a half, 2 years in the area. And so we had opportunity to go to the orchards and pick our own fruit sometimes. And I remember going through the peach orchards, if you've ever done that, I'm sure many of you have. And I'm from Iowa originally, and so we don't have peach orchards out there. We have corn, we have hogs, but we don't have any peach orchards. But I can remember going to these peach orchards and just seeing the boughs, the limbs weighted down with peaches, almost to where they're going to break. And looking at them and thinking, man, this is beautiful. The fruit on here, and you think, you know, you're going to pick these peaches, and you're thinking, I'm going to eat some of these right now. And you see one, and you pick it, and you think, this is the nicest peach here. And then you go a little bit further, and you find another one, and you think, no, this one beats the last peach that I had. And you think, in just a short period of time, you have your containers full of peaches, and you thought it'd take a whole lot longer than that to pick. When we come to this passage here, these 29 verses could be divided up into different sections and could be preached on for a lengthy period of time. There is so much in here and so much that can be gleaned from the truths of the Word of God in this passage of Scripture. But this morning, I want to concentrate our focus and our thought on the satisfaction that can come only through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't really know the majority of the people here. I've had occasion and opportunity to meet several of you. I don't know too many of you very intimately. And so, therefore, I don't know where you're at in the Lord. I'm sure most are saved. I'm sure in a crowd this size that there are some here that are not saved, that are attending service this morning. I also am sure in a crowd this size that there are people here that are saved but not close to God right now. They're having a difficulty in their life. There's a struggle. There's something taking place. And there is something in this passage of Scripture for all of us this morning, from myself as well as everybody else that's present. I encourage you to seek God as we read through this and as I preach through it, that He would speak to your heart and that He would bring something to you and satisfy your soul this morning through His Word. Let's read this text, verses 1 through 29. I'm going to put my glasses on. My wife says sometimes I miss some of the words. Jesus Christ is, like I said, he's getting ready to go into Galilee. He's in Judea, and we pick up with verse 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is also called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messias cometh, and which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said unto the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Let's pray. Our Father, we've read from your word this morning, and where our hearts are prepared, I hope that every person here, and Lord, again, I believe there would be some present that are troubled, some that are a little disturbed, possibly some present that are not even children of God. We ask that you would take this passage of Scripture, and as I preach, that you would move our hearts to look to you, look to your Son, to find that which satisfies our thirsty souls, whether saved or lost. And we might leave this morning having seen Christ, our Savior, your Son, and we'll thank you for what you accomplish. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy a thirsty soul. For a person to be helped, first of all, we have to acknowledge that there's a need. Oftentimes, we're a proud people. The Bible lends to that, and we know that by experience, that many times we don't want others to do for us what we can do for ourselves. That's a common thing that has been taught in our heritage of the United States, and we brought up with it. But there's sometimes when things are pretty obvious that we can that we know that there's a need. A broken leg, somebody has a broken leg, they're going to say, hey, I need that taken care of. Somebody that has a flat tire on their car, they're going to say, I need that taken care of. There's other times when things happen in our lives, we're not really aware of what's taking place. We recently, a friend of ours back in North Carolina, the wife of another Hispanic pastor, had some problems, and when she went to the doctor, she found out that she had a tumor, had some cancer, and wasn't aware of it until the time that the problems arose. Thought the problems were results of something else, but when she went to the doctor found that she did have a tumor, and they were able to remove that. Everything looks well, and so we're thanking the Lord for that. But the point that I'm making is there's times in our lives when there's things we don't really realize what's causing the issue or the problem in our lives. And until we realize that, we're not going to look for help. We're not going to look for anything to help that assistance. And this woman, as she's coming to the well, there is a physical need, but I believe she also is aware of a spiritual need. She speaks of a religion, of worshiping in the mountain, Mount Gerizim there, where the Samaritans had worshiped, built a temple that was similar to the one in Jerusalem. But even still, that need wasn't met. that need wasn't met. And we need to realize that if God is going to meet a need that we have, we have to realize that that need is there. And Jesus Christ, in this account, done everything he could in love and compassion to show this woman what her need was. So the first point that we look at is that there's a need that the world cannot supply. We find these in verses 7 through 15. Time doesn't allow us to go through and give account to everything that takes place. But in verses 7 through 15, we find that there's a need that the world cannot supply. The gift of God, which is salvation, is free. God is not like a businessman. He's out to make a good deal with people. And people come to him and say, you know, I'll take this gift of salvation and I'll give you my good works, or I'll accept the baptism or maybe church membership or whatever it might be. God doesn't deal with us in giving us salvation. God offers salvation free and clear. It costs us nothing. It costs his son everything. And Jesus Christ gladly paid that price on the cross of Calvary. But God is not offering this for something in return. The world has many things that it would give us to try and satisfy our thirst. Satan is often offering things of this world that would be as cold water for us to drink to satisfy our thirst. But one thing you will always find, my friend, one thing you'll always find with the water of Satan that is sprinkled with salt. And salty water, the only thing it does is makes you more thirsty. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that I've been lured away into something that seemed to be shiny and pretty, acceptable, only to find that it didn't satisfy. The problem there is with that is that it gives the implication, the idea that if you just take a little bit more, you'll find satisfaction in it. I have a cousin, he's saved now, but before he got saved, he was in his early teens, or late teens, early 20s. He was with a crowd of people that ran with drugs and alcohol. A very hard life. And after he got saved, he'd gone to Bible college and was in the ministry. I spoke with him, and he told me, he said, when he used to go out with these guys, they would go out and party through the night, and the next morning through the morning hours, they'd try and recover from it. He'd wake up and just feel terrible. And one of his friends would say, man, had a great time last night. And he'd think to himself, I must be doing something wrong. And so he did it a little harder the next time. He never did find satisfaction in it. Just like this woman who came to the well, Satan offers sin. It looks like what God offers. It sounds like what God might offer. But it's not the true satisfying drink that a soul needs. And this woman said later on, she said, give me this water so I don't have to return here and come back and get more water from this well. Give me this water that I don't have to thirst anymore. And the world does that. It'll give you more and more and more. And somebody once said that sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you, or cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. But the Word, which is Jesus Christ, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word offers a water that does satisfy the soul. It offers something that if you partake of it, it will give you satisfaction that nothing else in this world can give. What the world has to offer is temporary. What the Word, Jesus Christ, has to offer is eternal. What the world has to offer leaves you with doubt. What Jesus Christ, the Word, has to offer gives you definite assurance. The world offers you the water that it gives, and you walk away thinking, I feel like maybe it was okay. But when we have Jesus Christ and we take the water that he has to give, we walk away saying, I know. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John wrote, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I talk to people all the time, and they tell me, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe. But James told us in James 2:19 that the demons believe, or the devils believe, and tremble. Believing with the head isn't sufficient to bring salvation. It's something that takes place in the heart. Romans 10 tells us that. It's interesting as we come to this passage, we drop down, look with me in verse 15, when Jesus had shared with her and she had asked him, you know, there's a lot of things that she asked him, are you greater than Jacob? Jesus could easily have responded, not only am I greater than him, I've wrestled with him and won. But he didn't. He went on and as she would ask a question, she would try to sidestep the issue, and Jesus would constantly steer it back to this woman's need. Now, let me just take a side note here and encourage you that when we're talking to people about the Lord, when we're soul winning, when we're engaging somebody and trying to share the gospel, Satan is a expert at allowing these people to give us little things to lead us off track, get us into a conversation, and we forget about what we're there for. He'll do it every time. And so we have to do, just like Jesus Christ here, there's several things that he does in this. This is a soul-winning application also. When he's talking with this woman and she comes up with a question and Jesus says, that's a good question. We'll get to that in just a little bit. And what he does is he comes back to the point. And he said here, whosoever drinks, in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now I look at this and I've read this and thought about it. And to me, I see this as what we would call easy believism. I have been in churches up and down the East Coast. I've been a member of several churches and then also been in many churches preaching. And I've known people that do a 1, 2, 3 when they're presenting the plan of salvation. And they just get a person to say yes, yes, yes. And then they bow their head and pray. And we call this easy believism. It's something that a person says, you know, okay. What that does is extremely dangerous, extremely difficult, especially for the person that comes behind. I talk to people all the time and ask them if they're saved. They said, yeah, I've prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's no change in their life. This woman here was seeking for the easy part. There's people in this world that have been lied to. There's preachers who have preached have stood in pulpits and preached, and they said, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, your life will be great and wonderful afterwards. And that's not the truth. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus Christ never said that. Paul said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a promise to the child of God. Not many of us want that one, but it is a promise to the child of God. We will suffer persecution. The Bible is very clear that if we accept Christ, that there's going to be a conflict. Jesus Christ even said that he comes and he's going to cause division between the families, up into the mothers with their daughters and the fathers with their sons. And there's going to be a conflict. And this woman wanted the easy part, but wasn't willing to give up or admit the second part. And the second thing we see is that there has to be an acknowledgement of sin. An acknowledgement of sin. Now, this is important because many people say, oh, yeah, I've sinned before, but, you know, I'm not that bad. Oftentimes when we make that comment, what is it in comparison to somebody else? And the comparison is not, that's not our standard to measure ourselves with anybody else but Jesus Christ. And anybody that measures himself with Jesus Christ finds that they are extremely bad. In fact, in the eyes of God, we're wicked. And the Bible tells us that we're enemies against God before we're saved. And Jesus Christ, in love and compassion, brings her back around and he says, go call your husband. Go call your husband. And she kind of, I don't know if she did or not, but she kind of dips her head and flushes a little bit and says, I have no husband. And he says, you said correctly, because you've had 5 husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. Now, what has Jesus done here? He's brought her to a place where she has to acknowledge her sin. You know, if you're here this morning, if you're away from God, if you're a child of God and you're away from him, the only way back is to acknowledge your sin and ask forgiveness for it. Just agree with God. I've sinned against you and you only, and repent and be restored. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, if you're lost, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only way to come to him is just as this woman. I've sinned, and I need to come through Jesus Christ. And so she's brought to the place where she acknowledges her sin. The law, Jesus Christ uses the law. If you'll study through the New Testament, Jesus used the law, Peter used the law, Paul used the law. The law was not given for salvation. The law was given for condemnation. There's nobody that can follow the Ten Commandments. There's nobody that can keep even, that can keep them. And so the law was given. And in Romans, Paul tells us that in 7:7, that it gives us condemnation. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 4, it clearly tells us that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to a place in comprehension, understanding that we fall short of the mark. There's no way that we can make ourselves good enough in the eyes of God. No way we can arrive. And so he brings it to a place of understanding that she needs to acknowledge her sin. Again, the woman sidetracks. And she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. There's no way that you could know that I've had five husbands and now living with somebody else. And so she says, I believe you're a prophet. And then she has another question. And this is what happens many times when you talk with people. Oh, I have this question I've been meaning to ask you. You seem like you know the Bible pretty well. Let me ask you this question. Are we supposed to worship here in Mount Gerizim? Are we supposed to worship back in Jerusalem? Who's right? And Jesus quickly answers her and says, you worship you know not what. We worship what we know. What is he saying? The Samaritans here, they were as Matthew Henry says, they were the scum of the earth. That's pretty harsh. But they were considered by Jews the untouchable. They were unclean. They were considered to be. They're actually intermarried between the Babylonians who had been sent there by Nebuchadnezzar when he took Israel or Judea into captivity, and married to the Jews who had stayed behind, and so they were not pure Jews. They were not pure Babylonians. They were considered to be just really worse than dogs, And Jesus said, this isn't the place to worship, nor is the time coming when Judea, or in the temple in Israel, is not going to be the place to worship. And he says, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I find interesting in the verse following, in verse 23, but the hour cometh, and much more is true, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, Jesus Christ could have gone to Galilee like most Jews would have done. They would have crossed before leaving Jerusalem. They had crossed the Jordan River around Jericho. Went across the Jordan River, went up the right side, the east side of the river, up through Perea, and then crossed back over once they got up above Samaria and never passed through the Samaritan lands. But Jesus didn't do that. In the beginning, it says that I must needs go through Samaria. He needed to go through there. He needed to meet this woman. The point that I make with this is that Jesus Christ makes a definite time to meet with individuals. If you're here this morning and you're saved, it is because Jesus Christ sought you out. It's not because you just come to a conclusion one day and said, hey, I need to be saved. No, there was this Holy Spirit of God working in you that drew you to him. And when you saw your need, you accepted that and received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, Jesus Christ is doing the same thing. He said, I need to go through Samaria. And this morning he said, I need this person to be in the church this morning. If you're here today and you're battling with something and you're struggling with something and you're wayward, the same thing applies. God is seeking those that worship him in spirit and in truth. And whatever the sin might be, it's time to forsake it and cast it off and come to God, repent, and be restored into a fellowship with him. And I encourage you to do that. Not only is there a need that can't be met by the world, the need to acknowledge sin, but there's also a need to acknowledge a Savior. We find as the conversation goes on, in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messias, or the Messiah, cometh, which is called Christ, the Anointed One, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. Now, I believe that she's acknowledging the fact that this is the Messiah. If he just told her what he had done, what she had been doing in her previous years of her life, and she's acknowledging the fact that Jesus Christ is this Messiah, she said, I know, she knows that from Deuteronomy, it said that there'd be a prophet come. And so she's familiar some with the scriptures, somewhere along the line, she's been taught some things. But she said, I know. She makes this declaration of the scriptures, saying that I know that Moses said there'd be a prophet come and he would tell us these things. And she said, I believe. With her statement here, she said, I believe that you're that prophet. I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Christ, the Anointed One. She's making this declaration. And then Jesus Christ makes the declaration in verse 26. He said, "I that speak to thee am he." She said, "You're right, and I am he." This is a pretty powerful statement that Jesus makes here. For him to say that I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, I am the Anointed One, the Son of God. Have you been in his presence? Have you been in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I know physically we can't be. But my friend, there's nothing in this world that can duplicate or come close to being in the presence of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you've been there. There was a time in your life when you were humbled and you knelt before the throne of God and you cried out to him to be pardoned for your sin. You've been in the presence. But how often do we go back? How often do we take the time to go back and be in the presence of Jesus Christ? When's the last time you got along with God? The last time you put everything else aside. You turned off your cell phone, set everything else aside. You got alone in some place where nobody else could disturb you. And you got into the presence of Jesus Christ and said, "This is the Anointed One, the Son of God." If it's been a long time, or if it's even been a week or a few days, I encourage you, even this afternoon, to get along with God somewhere. Back into the presence of Jesus Christ. It says early in our text that God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. It's his desire, and I encourage you to fulfill that desire of God. Well, the woman made a declaration, or the scriptures made a declaration. Jesus made a declaration, and now the woman makes a declaration in verse 29. She passes away, and it says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now this is interesting. It says in the verse prior to this, in verse 28, it says, "The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men." That word "left" is a pretty small word, and really we can read it and pass over it and not catch much to it. But as you study that out, you find that it is a word in the Greek. It means, and I'm not in favor of divorce, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but it means where a man divorces his wife and has nothing more to do with her. It also has the meaning of disregard or neglect. To take something and set it aside. You ask me, why are you making this point? Because this woman, in verse 28, took a clay water pot, which is indication of the world. And she takes the worldly things and sets it aside and says, "This water no longer satisfies my thirst." And she became a vessel herself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, I believe it is, that it says that we become vessels meet to the master's use. And that's what this woman done. She became a vessel meet to the master's use. Put aside the world, the worldliness of her life, and she said, "No longer does it satisfy me. I have found that which satisfies my thirsty soul." And she said, "I need this no more," and walked away from it, and went into the city and proclaimed to those who knew her as the old person, "Now become new. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. And she tells them about, come see the man that told me everything that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? If you're here this morning and you're a child of God, you should be a vessel meet for the master's use. Cleansed, holy, sanctified, and honorable unto him. So that when God reaches down from heaven and he says, I need a vessel to carry the gospel message to this person, he can say, "This is one right here. I'll take this one. Go to this person and tell them, is not this the Christ?" If you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's time that you made that decision. We're not promised another moment of life, another hour, another day. And if you leave here this morning without Christ, you stand the chance and possibility of stepping into eternity, never having opportunity to receive him again. She arrived at the well a servant of sin. She accepted Jesus and became a servant of God. I ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? If you're lost, I hope you're thirsty for Jesus Christ. If you're saved and maybe you strayed away, I hope you're thirsty enough to say, I need to go back. I need to go back to that place and drink once again of the pure springs of living water. I'm not saying you need to be saved again. I'm just saying you need to be refreshed. We can't lose our salvation. Once we're saved, we're always saved. We've told that many times throughout the New Testament. But there's sometimes we just need to get back and be refreshed in the presence of Jesus Christ. Remember who it was that brought us that eternal life, and just get cleaned up a little bit, like Peter sometimes. If you're here this morning and walking with God, and stay faithful and strong to him, and don't wander away. I challenge you this morning, are you thirsty? Do you have a thirsty soul? Jesus Christ is the only one that can satisfy the thirst that you might have. Would you come to him this morning? Would you come to him this morning and be refreshed? Let's pray.